Make no mistake, of all leading cigarettes, one and only one is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. That one cigarette is Philip Morris. Johnny presents the Milton Berle Show. Here comes Johnny, ladies and gentlemen, to remind you, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris. Yes, they'd all. From Radio City in New York, here is the Milton Berle Show with Bert Kelton, Jack Albertson, Johnny Gibson, Mary Shipp, Billy Sands, Al Kelly, our singing star Dick Farney, Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Gallen. Ladies and gentlemen.
Great ad-libbing.
Tonight we salute winter sports. Yes, the tempting sight of the recent snow makes you want to rush madly out of the house. We now bring you a comedian whose program does the same thing to you. And here he is, if you'll pardon the expression, Milton Berle.
Thank you, pardon the expression. Thank you very much, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Mr. Gallup, those winter sports, skating, skiing, tobogganing. And now in New York City, we have a new sport, digging for your car. Yeah, some guy sold me a beautiful car this week, a white Cadillac. It was a beauty, till the sun came out and melted it down to a green Chevy. Everything is melting. They call me Milton Berle. I am... Wow. Forgive me. Everything is melting. No kidding. Everything is gone away. I saw Martha Graham walking on Fifth Avenue. This week, she's known as Miss Slush. Oh, what a week.
Well, the snow is old news. We've had a sleet storm and flood since then.
Oh, that flood, Mr. Gallup. I know that the flood... The whole 7th Avenue subway was flooded. The only thing that kept running was the Bronx Express. No people in it. Oh. Just salmon going uptown to spawn. Oh, what a week. On top of everything else, there was a fuel oil shortage. Some apartments got so cold, landlords were allowing veterans to move in. My writers should move out. But sakes alive, Mr. Gallup. Here I am, running off at the mouth again.
Ain't it the truth, though?
Ain't it? Did you say ain't?
Well, after a year on this program with you, I'm lucky I can still speak English.
Please? Mr. Gallup, I have never seen you so animated. What did you get for Christmas? Blood? But enough of this hilarious nothing. See the way I sold that nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G? We're discussing winter sports tonight.
Yes, and how jolly. I must tell you of the winter activities of my club,
yeah?
The Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Lucy Monroe.
Society of Prevention of Cruelty, Lucy Monroe. Oh, that jazzy. That's really jazzy. At this club, what do you do?
Well, first...
Yeah, first what?
First, we went tobogganing.
Tobogganing? Look, yes. I hate tobogganing. Don't talk tobogganing. Yeah, I mean, I hate it. You're squeezed in too much. The guy behind has to put his legs around you.
Well, that's true. However, this year I was quite comfortable.
You were?
Yes, the man behind me was a cello player.
I get it, but I don't want it. Oh, you mad creatures.
Oh, it was just too gay.
Lots of fun.
Uh-huh. Yes. In the evening, we all piled onto a sleigh. Andre Castellanos cracked a whip, and away we went racing over the snow with Lily Pond singing the bell song from Lock Me. And Lily did a most remarkable job.
Remarkable? Lily Pond has sung the bell song many times.
While pulling a sleigh...
Mr. Gallup, you slay me. That was no joke. No laughs. Tough sledding tonight. So I'm with the program as we salute winter sports. Winter sports.
Leading in popularity among winter sports is skiing.
Skiing is popular because it's so simple. There are just three easy steps to skiing. Learning how to put on your skis, learning how to go down the high slide, and learning how to walk again.
Though 1947 was a great year for sports, the biggest sport of the year was and still is
Johnny Myers. Thank you, ladies. I'll tell you when. Ladies and gentlemen, in though we have a wonderful audience here tonight, that's without my mother, too. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a few... Oh, my ad-libs aren't worth the paper they're written on. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a few weeks, the Winter Olympic Games will start in Switzerland. And it is an honor to have with us tonight the coach of the United States Winter Olympic team, who in a few days will sail for Switzerland with the team. And here he is, Coach Doc Finster. Mr. Finster.
Thank you, thank you.
Coach Finster, how do you think your team will do in the Winter Olympics?
Mr. Bell, I have every confidence that my boys will grit and green the entire appetite of a spade with a comet for sport. Not only will the Alouettes back on the Invisalus stage because I know it's agreed, but they are the only ones who have a broad, a flag, and a veritable flash. Personally, I won't bet a nickel on them.
Well, Coach, I understand that that you have enforced a very rigid training schedule on your team.
Absolutely. No member of my team is permitted to hibble snarf. They cannot struggle what, and they must never nibble slide. And above all, they can't brutal a Adidas clip on a snub dubby. They can't brutal a Adidas clip on a snub dubby. They'll go nuts.
I imagine, Coach Finster, that you're all looking forward to your boat trip to Switzerland.
Yes. We were planning a two-day stopover on the romantic island of Schmalmann. But they're having a terrible epidemic of Klatzenstein fly.
Of what?
Klatzenstein fly.
That sounds awful.
Awful? There isn't a knubble left on the island.
Coach Finster, before our team goes into action, what will be your last words to them?
I'll say, yes, boys, go in there and show them what you're made of. Thumb bites, pal. Put on your smutter stack. Lace up your periners. Adjust your hinder hold. And go out there and slump. Remember, a bird in the hand is like two in the snubber bag. And remember the words of that great athlete, Dave Bigelizinger, who said, quote, play the game, play it square.
All right, thank you, Mr. Finster. Thank you. Anybody that would like that speech should have their head examined. Mr. Gallup, the real winter sports were the sports of our youthful days. When on those crisp winter evenings we sat in front of the fireplace with that one and only girl and fan. Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Are you playing with your elbows? Ah, Cynthia. Precious memories of Cynthia. Remember, Cynthia, what fun we had in the snow. I'd be rolling snowballs to make a snowman. You'd be rolling drunks to make a buck. Cynthia, my outdoor girl. That winter air used to put apples in your cheeks. And every time I pinched your cheek, I'd get a handful of cider. Good audience. Bad joke. Charming Cynthia, remember that day that you came in exhausted out of the snow, how you screamed when I began pulling off your snowshoes? I didn't know they were your feet. You were frozen stiff and I forced brandy down your throat. And you got stiffer. In winter wonderland with Cynthia. Remember, Cynthia, how we'd go coasting down the hill together, how slow we went? We went much faster after you waxed your stomach. Good belly laugh. I'll always remember.
I'll always remember the last time I saw you, Cynthia. It was the day Mayor O'Dwyer ordered them to clean up the city, and you were the first thing they pushed down the sewer. So until you show up in the Guananas Canal, I'll keep singing, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
From New York to California, from Louisiana to Oregon, from city after city all over the country, eminent nose and throat specialists make this report. Listen.
We are convinced Philip Morris is definitely less irritating than any other leading cigarette. That's why in cases of irritation due to smoking, we suggest change to Philip Morris.
Yes, that's professional advice and good advice to every man or woman who smokes. Change to Philip Morris. Because the cigarette that gives you the least irritation is the cigarette that gives you the most enjoyment. And after all, it's pleasure. Deep, rich pleasure that counts in smoking. And the full measure of smoking pleasure is yours to enjoy day in, day out in Philip Morris. That's why we say, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
Lovely, lovely, what you played of it, Mr. Block. Thank you. That was The Skater's Waltz, played by Ray Block and his famous blockheads. And, Ray, may I say that you were never better? I'd even go further. You were never worse. That's a joke. Never. And now, as we continue our salute to winter sports, we present...
Winter Sports Forum tonight. Winter Sports Forum tonight. The question... Where is there more winter activity? At Lake Placid or in the Paramount balcony?
Thank you, Mr. Gallup. Thank you. Now, let us start with questions from our audience. All right, let's start with this gentleman in the third row with his head in the mandolin. Yes, sir?
Mr. Pearl, we want you to take part in our winter sports carnival. We want you to be a leader.
A leader?
Yes, there'll be five dogs and a sled behind you.
Thank you very much. But let us go on. All right, this young man in the aisle printing money. Young man, step up. Are you on your knees? No, I'm sorry. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Kansas City Kitty.
Kansas City Kitty? You were born in Kansas City?
No, I was born in Georgia.
Then why don't they call you Sweet Georgia Brown?
Are you kidding? That's a girl's name.
I see. Where did the kitty come from?
My mother was a Siamese.
Oh, I see.
So many people mistook me for a girl, I had to take a middle name.
What's your middle name?
Mexicali Rose.
All right, Mex. You have a question concerning winter sports.
Would you mind repeating the question, please?
I said
Never mind, I'm not going to answer it anyway.
But you said...
I don't have to answer if I don't want. My lawyer said so.
Look,
you can't get laughs by yourself. Why should I be a stooge for you? You couldn't get a laugh if your pants fell like dead or dead.
Now,
you
wait.
You couldn't get a laugh if you put on a lady's hat, pinned an organ in your nose, and read all of Bob Hope's jokes.
If you don't...
You couldn't get a smile out of an audience full of laughing hyenas that were being tickled by the ushers.
Please.
Ah, your mother's galoshes.
Let us try and keep order. Let's hear from the women in the audience. All right, this lady in the aisle luxing her undies with Oxidol. What is your name, madam?
Tallulah Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
I see. And I see. And you have a question that has to do with winter sports.
Yeah. Why is my husband so nuts about skating? He spends all his time with a Scarsdale skiing, skating, and skunk hunting club.
I see.
My husband's a champion skater.
Fancy figure?
Yeah, he's a fat slob.
No, I mean, is he a fancy skater?
Fancy? You should see him do a cooch dance on skates.
Is he good?
He slinks on ice.
Slinks on ice, yes. I understand.
He's always doing tricks on skates. Once he started to spin in a cycle and he couldn't stop.
What happened?
He screwed himself into the ice up to his neck.
Wait a minute, don't go in. I dropped the joke. All right, where were we? Okay, yes, sir. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, kid. My line. My line. Did you ever hear Burl say that before? That's terrible. What's his best trick on skate?
You know, it'd be funny if this is an audition and we don't know it, Peter.
What's his best trick on skates?
He can do a figure eight the hard way.
The hard way?
2 4s.
I get it.
Him and those skates. He even wears them to bed. It's terrible when he sticks those cold blades against my back.
It must be.
It's like sleeping next to a good humor truck.
Well, that's dreadful.
You should see the clothes he wears when he goes skating. 5 pair of pants, 4 woolen shirts, 8 sweaters, and on top of all that, he wears a long winter union suit.
A union suit, too? How can your husband move?
Are you kidding? With a good stiff breeze hitting up the flap, he can get up to 60 miles an hour.
Thank you, Mrs. Feeney. Hitting up the flap. There will be a rehearsal in the basement.
The pipes keep out. Now, let's hear from an expert. With us tonight is none other than the world's champion ski jumper. 240 pounds of grease, lightning, and driving power. Big Sven Featherfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Featherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Burns. This is indeed a glorious opportunity for me to say stoles to my many and ardent admirers who have seen me jump up north and land in many scattered sections.
Tell us, Mr. Featherfield.
Excuse me, Mr. Burrell. Do you mind if I sit down? I'm pooped.
You're tired?
On my way here, I picked up a peanut off the sidewalk. I think I strained myself.
But Mr. Featherfield, a peanut isn't heavy.
Well, this one was solid.
Well, that's different. Mr. Featherfield, the sports world was very shocked to find that you were not eligible for the Winter Olympic Games. How come?
It was a terrible mistake, Mr. Brown. When the Olympic officials interviewed me, they asked, "Are you a pro?" I answered, "Yes."
You said yes?
I thought they said schmo.
Mr. Featherfield, there's always been something so romantic about winter sports.
How about that?
Yes, how about that?
It was at a ski jump that I met my wife.
You met your wife at a ski jump?
Yes. I leaped high in the air, and there she was beside me.
She was on skis?
She was on a broom.
Oh, I see.
And she's been mopping me up ever since.
Mr. Featherfield, you mean to say that your wife mistreats you?
Mr. Burrell, when my wife flattened me last night, I had it coming.
Mr. Featherfield, you were bad again?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Well, last night.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I shouldn't be telling you.
Oh, come on. Tell us, what happened?
Well, last night, she caught me in the pantry with a cookie.
What's so terrible about that?
This cookie was 18 years old.
Thank you, Mr. Featherfield. Thank you. Now here's our young singing star, Dick Bonney, singing "The Best Things in Life Are Free."
The moon belongs to everyone. The best things in life are free. The stars belong to everyone. They glimmer for you and me. The flowers in spring, the robins that sing, the sunbeams that shine, they're yours, they're mine. And love can come to everyone. The best things in life are free. The moon belongs to everyone. The best things in life are free. The stars belong to everyone. They gleam there for you and me. The flowers in spring, the robins that sing, the sunbeams that shine, they're yours, they're mine, and love can come to everyone. The best things in life are free.
And Ray Block, you know, I kid you a lot every week, but your orchestra tonight sounds swell. The boys, they seem so relaxed, as though someone just told them that Petrillo knows what he's doing. Petrillo, there's a powerful guy. You think not? Even the New York snowstorm had to make its record before December 31st. Tonight, in discussing winter sports, I must tell you what happened. Last winter, Mr. and Mrs. Gallup invited my wife and me to spend a weekend at their winter lodge in Maine. And we all drove up there in our car. Dashing through the snow in my Chevrolet coupe.
Milton, watch where you're driving. You're in Maine.
I was looking out the window. I can't tell if those lumps in the snow are Burma-shaped signs or Republicans waiting in line to vote. Are we almost there, Mr. Gallup?
Yes, you turn left at the next vote for Alf Landon sign.
Gosh, I still can't get over it. You asking me, Milton Berle, a nothing, to spend a weekend with you, the social Gallups. Mrs. Gallup, I really appreciate it. I said I really appreciate it, Mrs. Gallup.
Come, dear. You can sit up now. We're miles from Park Avenue. None of our friends could possibly see us.
Gee, Mrs. Gallup, I hope after this we see a lot of each other.
Why?
Well, I mean, after this weekend, we're going to be great friends.
You'd better close the window, Frank. I may throw myself out.
You know, Mrs. Gallup, when we get back to New York, I want you to meet my friend.
Oh, goody. It's been years since I've been in night court.
Night court.
Milton, watch where you're driving.
Milton, watch where you're driving. Watch where you're driving. Nag, nag, nag. Da, 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 da. You think I never drove a car before? Quick, somebody, call the smiling Irishman. What happened?
Oh, I meant to tell you, this is the end of the road.
The end of the road?
Yes. Those New Englanders and their sense of humor. Yeah.
They continued the white line right up the cliff. Where's your lodge, Mr. Gallup?
It's right over there. I'll get the shovels and we'll have a jolly time clearing off the driveway.
Frank Gallup, you're not going to wield a shovel like a common laborer.
Oh, owner.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Of course, someone has to clean off the driveway.
Yes, someone has to clean off the driveway.
Yes, someone has to.
Yes, someone has... Why is everybody looking at me?
Of course, Mr. Berle, if you don't want to.
Oh, no, Mrs. Gallup. That's silly. I'd love to do it. I insist.
I'll get you a shovel.
No, don't bother. I'll just dig it out with my hands. And what I can't reach, I'll lap up with my tongue. And this was going to be a rest. Oh, brother.
Oh, Mr. Gallup, that was an amusing story. Too bad Milton isn't here to steal it.
Well, I do say, he's been gone 6 hours doing that driveway. There he is.
Goodbye. Hello.
Milton, what happened?
Oh, what I thought was the start of the driveway turned out to be Highway 62. Oh, my back... I'm frozen.
In a minute, we'll have a roaring fire in the fireplace.
A roaring fire.
Just as soon as someone goes out and chops the wood.
I'll go.
Frank Gallup, you're not going to exhaust yourself.
Oh, no.
Well, someone has to chop the wood.
Yes, someone has to chop the wood.
Yes, someone has... Where's the axe?
I'll show you. This way.
What is it? Great rest I'm having.
Here's the axe, Burl. Now chop down this little tree here.
Little? The last time I saw a tree like that, there was a tunnel through it for cars.
Now, you go right ahead, and I'll carry this twig in for kindling. Cheerio.
Cheerio. Where's that axe? All right, here goes. Ow, 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 my leg. Help, help. Open up the door.
My leg. My poor leg. My poor leg.
Milton.
My leg. It's off. Help. Help.
Milton, shame on you, making Mr. Gallup carry in that twig.
My leg. My leg.
Mr. Gallup got a sliver in his finger. Look.
Frank, I insist on calling the doctor.
Oh, really? It's nothing.
Milton, isn't Mr. Gallup brave?
Yeah, my leg. My
leg. Oh, Frank, that foolish pride of yours, standing there with a sliver in your hand, is a... Pearl!
Yeah.
You're tracking blood in the house.
Oh, Mr. Gallup, it's nothing. It's nothing at all. It's just a scratch. I'll pick out the fragments and throw them away. Ooh, look at my right foot. I think I chopped 3 toes off.
Good. Now you'll have 5 like everybody else.
Please, no, kid. I'm weak. I need food.
Yes, food. Someone will have to walk 6 miles to town and buy some.
I'll go.
Frank Gallup, I don't want you to go down that lonely mountain road at this time of night.
Why not?
Oh.
Wolves?
Yes, but they won't attack you unless they're hungry.
That one doesn't sound like he just finished eating at Lindy's, does he?
Well, someone has to go for food.
Yes, someone has to go for food.
Milton.
Yep. I'll hop on one leg. Just open the door and give me a shove. Coming, Mother.
More champagne, Mrs. Burroughs.
Thank you. I don't understand. Milton was only getting frankfurters and beans, and he's been gone 2 hours.
Heavens, here comes someone staggering through the snow.
Open the door. Open the door. Get away. Open the door. I made it.
Here's the food.
Milton, what happened?
Those wolves. It was a nightmare. Look at me. Those wolf bites I can understand, but look at that arrow in my back. Oh, my legs. I can't walk.
Yeah.
Oh, grab him. He's fainting.
Lay him down here. Una, get bandages.
Oh,
don't worry, Milton. We're going to fix you up.
Yes, sir. We'll do everything.
Gee, Mrs. Gallup, you're all so wonderful, so friendly.
Chin up, Bill. The only thing that counts now is to get you up on your feet.
It is?
Yes, you forgot the mustard. Someone has to go back to town.
Oh, no.
Thank you very much. I'll be back in a jiffy. In the meantime...
Remember this. You're twice as sure of twice the pleasure when you smoke Philip Morris. And here's why. First, you enjoy the pleasure of smoking the world's finest premium tobaccos, mellow and mild and superbly blended. And second, you enjoy the extra pleasure of smoking the one, the only leading cigarette recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. Yes, you're twice as sure of twice the pleasure when you smoke Philip Morris. So next time you call for cigarettes, call for Philip Morris, made in America by Americans to please American taste.
Thank you very much. This is your girlfriend Milton saying goodnight. We're a little late. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Later, I don't know what I'm saying tonight.
I'll be waiting for you. Come in and call for Philip Morris. Call for Philip Morris.
Yes, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
Hello, testing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's it, 5. Pipe smokers try Revelation pipe tobacco, a smooth blend of 5 tobaccos. Yes, relax, take 5, take Revelation, a fine pipe tobacco. The Milton Berle Show is written by Matt Hyken and Alan Newton. This is Frank Gallup saying goodnight for Philip Morris.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.